How is technology impacting our lives? Are robots and artificial intelligence slowly taking over all of our jobs? Well, maybe we can get the answer here from Callum Chase, who joins us. He's the author of the book of Economic Singularity. Good morning, Callum. Appreciate your time.
Morning, Bruce.
Let's talk about this. You have a book out called The Economic Singularity. Talk about the title. What does that mean? And then a little bit more about how we're talking about the artificial intelligence.
Sure. So a singularity is a point in time when the normal rules break down. And the most famous example is a black hole. At the center of a black hole, mass becomes infinite and the normal rules of physics break down. I believe that in the next few decades, we're going to get an economic singularity because the normal rules of economics will break down. And that'll happen because, as you said, AI and robots, which are peripherals of AI, is improving so fast that it will soon be able to do all the jobs that humans do cheaper, better, and faster. And when that happens, humans will actually, I think, do very well. We'll all live lives of leisure, and it'll be it's potentially a great future. But we won't be working for a living. We won't be doing jobs. And so we're going to need a new economy. And that's why the book's called The Economic Singularity.
Well, there's two parts. One, I like the part you said, well, we won't be doing jobs. Everybody's thinking to themselves, I'm glad I won't have a job. But then we always think about the science fiction and the whole thing about robots and can they be trusted and that sort of thing. How do you balance the two? Or is one just sort of our imagination and the other one's more of a what you think is a reality?
Oh, I think we live at a time when science fiction is increasingly becoming reality. There's lots of things that science fiction authors have written about for a long time which are, you know, starting to become true. We're sending rockets, we may well send people to Mars. We've got virtual reality, which is pretty convincing, coming along. But the biggest change is what's being introduced by artificial intelligence. And I think that this change in the way we all live, because we won't be working anymore, is going to be the biggest one. And I should say it's a minority opinion at the moment. Most people who think about this think that it's just the Luddite fallacy all over again. Automation has been around for a long time and didn't in the past cause long-term unemployment. It actually created more wealth and more jobs. But I do think this time it's different because this time the machines are coming after our cognitive jobs. Previously, they've replaced our muscle power with mechanization. Now they're coming after the jobs that doctors, lawyers, dare I say, radio hosts and book writers, they're coming after those sorts of jobs, as well as driving jobs and jobs in factories. And I think within a few decades, as I say, pretty much nobody is going to be working for a living.
If we are not working, how are we making a living?
That is obviously a very good question. And in the first instance, we're going to have to shift to a form of economy where the few people who probably still will be working and will own all of the artificial intelligence, and because they own the AI, they own pretty much everything else because AI creates all the value, they're going to have to pay a lot of tax so that the rest of us can receive money, which is called a universal basic income, just because we're citizens. We're going to have to do that because otherwise most of us are going to starve, and that's obviously not acceptable.
Given how fast these changes are happening, again, when do you think this might take place?
Well, I think the change will probably be complete within 40, certainly 50 years, and I think it'll start in the next 10 to 20. I think the first really big wave of AI-driven automation that everybody's going to notice is drivers all becoming redundant, because we can already see self-driving cars. If you go to San Francisco, you see a lot of them on the roads, and they're being trialed all sorts of other places. Within 10 years or so, we're going to be quite a long way down the road to swapping out the installed base of vehicles, commercial vehicles first, for vehicles which are driven entirely by AI. They won't have a human in them. And we're going to do that because they're safer. Humans at the moment kill about 1.2 million people on the roads every year. We're sending humans to do a machine's job. And so safety and cost will drive the humans out of the vehicles. And I think within 15 years, there probably will be no professional drivers at all. Now, in the States, that's probably about 5 million people. What are all those people going to do? It's not clear.
We're talking this morning with Callum Chase, the author of the new book, Economic Singularity. So as Craig mentioned, what do we do for a living? What do we do? How is the human existence going to be motivated? Are we going to spend our time painting? What is it that we're going to do to fulfill whatever we have in us to exist? What are your thoughts related to the human part of this, not the robots?
Sure. So that's a good question, and it's something that worries a lot of people. Personally, I'm not too worried about that. I think we will always find a lot of interesting things to do. A lot of people today really enjoy the jobs they do. I'm sure you guys do. I know I do enjoy what I do. But an awful lot of people do not enjoy the jobs they do, and they would really like it if they didn't have to do a job for a living. And I think we will do a lot of work, but we just won't get paid for it. We'll get paid this universal basic income. And the kind of work we'll do will be projects. We'll create charities. We'll write books, as you say. We'll do painting. We'll play sport. We'll socialize. We'll do whatever we want to do. And there are examples in history and around the world today of why that does work. In Europe, for centuries, aristocrats haven't had to work for a living. And they didn't all die of existential despair. They lived perfectly happy lives. And actually, their lives were a lot better than the other people in their society at the time who did have to work. And another group is retired people. I'm sure you know retired people who say that they are busier than they've ever been, and they have no idea how they managed to fit a job in before. Humans are pretty good at finding interesting and challenging things to do. I don't think we're all going to just become couch potatoes and drink too much.
There are still parts of the world where living is a very difficult thing, whether it's food, whether it's water, whether it's sanitation. How are these changes going to impact those areas?
I think in a good way, although there's a big caveat, which is that we have to plan for this. We can't just assume it's going to happen in a good way. But one of the things that will happen as AIs and robots take over all the work is that goods and services get a lot cheaper because AIs and robots are very efficient and they'll get more and more efficient. The technology is improving at an exponential rate. It's really important that people understand how fast AI is improving, this exponential improvement where you double everything 18 months, you double the power of something every 18 months, is incredibly powerful. And people who are currently living in poor parts of the world, when this technology arrives with them, it'll improve their lives enormously, and they will join the developed world in living a very good, hopefully a kind of American middle-class standard of living.
Okay, one final question. Craig and I would like to know, what do we need to do today to prepare for this future?
Well, the obvious answer, and I apologize in advance, is that you have to read my book. But I think what we all need to do, very seriously, is we need to discuss this, think about it, and talk about it, because this good future isn't going to arrive automatically. We need to prepare for it and plan for it.
And it's one of those things where I wonder if this levels the playing field for all different classes and peoples and countries. That creates, I guess, a whole other different dynamic in the future.
I think in many ways it will, because universal basic income will be paid at a fairly level rate. Although I do have a scenario in my book called The Gods and the Useless, which is one of the possible bad outcomes of all this, where you have a very small number of people, and they're called Larry Page, Sergey Brin, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and so on. They own pretty much everything because they own the AI. And that's a dangerous scenario, and we need to try to avoid that.
The book, again, is called The Economic Singularity. Our guest today has been Callum Chase. If we want to find out more about this, your book, and other things, where's a good place to get some more information about this?
The book's available at Amazon in audio, ebook, and paperback format, and I have a blog called Pandora's Brain, www.pandoras-brain.com.
Sounds great. Appreciate your time this morning. It gives us a lot to think about today. Thank you, Caleb.
My pleasure. Thank you. Talking to you guys.